Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Well, I have Pastor Claude. I'm going to remember, don't tell Pastor Claude before he gets the microphone, right? Because I told him I think I have about three sermons in there. But in all of this, truthfully, trying to define what the word is in the moment. And I think that is a key for all of us right now, of knowing the word in the moment. And even what Pastor Claude shared there, I tell you, there was a thick anointing as he just began to talk about that sense of God stepping in the room. Have you ever had those experiences? Right? You just, you know, have you had the experience where you sit down with your Bible and you are going to be faithful? You know what I'm talking about? You're being faithful because you're picking up the word and you're going in because you know that this is life, right? Here's the thing that we need to, there's a lot of things in the world right now, and even in our Christian world that we need to guard. We need to guard. The value for the word of God is one of the greatest things we need to guard right now. Because my opinions will get me in trouble or get in the way, but God's word is what's alive and true. Now, I could have opinions, and I have all kinds of opinions in there. But God's word is what brings life to me, right? And so here's the thing is that when I want to know what I'm supposed to do, yes, I believe in going and asking and talking with people and getting counsel. But my greatest counsel, my greatest guide is right here. There has to become, and I've got to try to stay on track here this morning, but there has to become a renewed passion, I remember a season in my life where, Pastor Claude, what did you do up here? Okay. There was a season in my life where I would literally wake up like this. I would wake up and I would kiss the word because it says like, well, this is paper. Yes, I understand that. And this is black words written on white paper. I understand that in that context, but it was expressing my heart. It was expressing my heart because I believe that the words of life come from the word of God. Amen? And that when I want to know what to do, here's the thing. This is the battle sometimes where I believe in my heart that every single answer to life is found here. Come on now, every single answer to life is found here. And I need to once again be retraining myself. And I know in those moments that when I would take the word and I would just, I was going, is there anybody looking at me? Because this feels weird, it feels strange. But that sense of being so in love with the word of God. I tell you, those seasons are just beautiful. But those seasons prepare us for the other seasons that sometimes come where we sense if we walk into the word of God out of discipline. I don't use the word duty. I use the word discipline. Do you know what I'm talking about? That sense of walking in the word in discipline, that I discipline myself daily to get into his word. I disciplined myself to live in his word. You know, when I was a kid, I don't know if any of you, put up your hand if you memorized scriptures as a kid. Let me see. Okay, so, you know, sometimes I remember, it's funny, the older I get, the more scripture I remember when I was younger. When I was young, I remember being in Sunday schools, we called it at that time, and we had this contest even where we were reading massive chunks of the Bible. Hear my heart. You understand my heart in this. I'm not bragging or anything. Please don't misunderstand that. But we were in a group, and I don't even want to say the name of the group anymore because it's probably not a great name that was on this church group we had. It wasn't called Boys and Girls Club or anything else. There was a specific name, okay, in there. But here's what it was. They had this, you hear me hesitating, right? You see me hesitating. I was National Crusader of the Year of all Canada when I was 14 years old. My best friend, yeah, okay. My friend before that, the year before, was the National Crusader of the Year. And some of you would say, well, that's just like you were. You were the top dog and amongst kids in there doing the things. Do you know that I read the entire Bible that year? 14. And it wasn't about yay me. And you know what it started out? It started out my friend did it, and maybe I can do it. Come on, that's where it started out. It's just kind of cool. He got to get on Hundley Street. He got to, and all of those things. But as the time went on, man, did I learn a lot at that age. There were so many encounters that I began to have with the Word of God, and so many encounters to begin to have in my room. I had this little captain's bed. Anybody know what a captain's bed is? And it had, in fact, when my captain's bed had these little posts on the four ends, right? And that's where Mom used to put for Christmas, put the stockings on it. And if you ever, you know, we used to take the stocking in the middle of the night, wake up, look at it all, put it back in, and then put it back down, right? And Mom would be like, and we'd have to be surprised the next day. Well, I think my mom must have caught on, or the Lord must have told her or something, because she sewed bells onto it. And so here am I, leaning over the side of the thing, trying to hold all the bells, you know, and dump everything out to take a look to see. Didn't work after a while, and you just gave up in this. But, you know, I tell you that because it's funny, because it's memories in the midst of these things. But do you know that one of my greatest memories of a child is having Jesus Christ walk in the room and sit on my captain's bed? And at 12, 13 years old, not being better than anybody else. Do you know what I'm talking about? Messing up. But to have the God of the universe come in, and you know he's sitting right there, because everything has changed in that room. And I don't even know what's going on. I don't understand fully, although I have grown up. And I tell you, the value of being in a spirit-filled church, I'm so grateful to my parents. And I don't know where we're going this morning, but the Holy Spirit does. But I'm so grateful to my parents to being raised in a spirit-filled church that longed and loved for the presence of God. A perfect church, far from a perfect church, but a church that longed for us kids to experience and know the presence of God. Did everyone have these experiences in the middle of this? No, they didn't. Do I understand why some did and some did? I don't know, because it wasn't anything I did to deserve to have those experiences. But I tell you, I know my mom prayed for me. I'm telling you, I know my mom prayed for me. I know that my grandfather prayed for me before he knew my name. Do you understand me? It's this family dynamic of sticking together in all of the rough seas in the midst of something. But my great-grandfather would have prayed for me, and he didn't even know my name at those moments. It was their prayers. I think at times, and I say to the Holy Spirit, Lord, teach me these things. And he shows me at times that, Rod, the things that you began to experience were on the power of the prayers of those that went before you. And I hear him saying to me, so what are you investing for the next generation? Come on now. It's not just about praying in circumstances or situations. And boy, do we have a lot to pray about right now. We so do. But it's keeping that sense of what our purpose is and what our destiny is and what is it God has called us to do fresh upon our hearts and our minds. And in this season right now, there is such a sense in my heart. And I look and I think, I'm shocked at sometimes what the Lord says.
But when if you go back and if you were to get the tape in the beginning of the year and I spoke about what this year would entail and what really for those of you that might not understand or might not know what I'm talking about, that the Jewish calendar has a different year or a different number. This year is 2020 for us, but the Jewish calendar has 5780. And I'm telling you, there is power and understanding in what God has given to the Jewish people. Come on now. My Old Testament, that covenant is full of things for me today. Come on now. We got to grab a hold of this in there because it doesn't matter whether I'm turning to the Old Testament or I'm turning to the New Testament. It is life unto me, right? And in this year, we know that it's about, when we look at it, it's the year 5780. And we look at that, what we do then is we sit there and we take that last number, 80, and it's kind of really cool that in the culture that there were letters or symbols really is what they are. And they represent letters, but they represent numbers, and there's concepts and ideas all within a stroke. Isn't that just like God? All within a stroke of his hand, there is immeasurable knowledge. When he spoke in those days, when you look at Genesis and you go through Genesis chapter 1 and you begin to walk through it and you see when the word says and that there was chaos or there was a void in the world. Boy, that sounds like today. That there's a chaos, there's a void, there's something, and then the Holy Spirit comes along and he begins to brood over this chaos and he speaks order and he speaks life. And he speaks change, and everything begins to birth brand new. In the beginning of this year, I gave you I felt like the Lord had given me a prophetic paragraph. I'll say it that way, a prophetic sentence in there. And this is what it was. It was, and I tell you, if you want to know whether I've asked the Lord why I did not know anything about this, I have asked him 100 times. Why did I not know? Why did I not see COVID coming? Come on now. And all of you, I know some of you go, none of us saw this coming. But I have agonized before the Lord. I have gotten into bad places because of it. You know what I'm saying? In the sense of going too far and wondering why and then assuming that I'm missing things and all of this. And the Lord begins to take me on a journey again. Can we say that we need to be a people that are sharply tuning our ears into what the Holy Spirit is saying? We need to be a people, and I don't know how to say this because it speaks about something that I'm called to do, but I don't know how to say it because it sounds like, come follow me, and I'm not saying those things. But can we say that we need to be tuned into what the prophetic voice is saying right now? We got to be tuned into what prophecy is speaking right now. No matter what your experience or no matter what the situation might be, there's something about saying, I will not despise prophecy in this time. And I tell you, I have been on that journey myself. But when I look at this, this is the prophetic paragraph that the Lord gave me. And if you want to write it down, it might be helpful. But it says this, this is the year of enabling grace. The year to behold, or the year to see the powerful hand of God, to create a new beginning that establishes futures only God could give for families and individuals. And then COVID-19 happens. Come on now, right in the midst of all of this. And I'm saying, okay, so Lord, you said this. I'm not going to go down that road of did I miss things and all. You know what? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, in this. So I stand up and I go, okay, Lord, this is what you were saying. And I begin to realize that you're telling us that there's enabling grace. There is a power within you. Now, you've got to get this. Point to your finger at yourself. Don't maybe do it as hard as I'm doing it right now. But point your finger. There is enabling grace within me. I can do this. Whatever it is that I'm facing right now, and some of you are facing some giants that have nothing to do with COVID-19, but they're giants in your land. There are things that are happening in your life that you haven't really fully expressed to everybody. And some of you are walking it out alone because you don't know. You don't know if you can even express it. Can I encourage you in this season that we are walking into that we have to be a people that stand with each other, that shaming and guilting is far from our language. Come on now, say it with me. The shaming and guilting is far from our language. That we are a people that believe in the power of the tongue. And I will be a person that I tell you what. If my tongue is doing something I'm not supposed to do, I am going to hold on to it. I read a prophetic word that back last year before the year came. It was about September. And this wonderful lady put out this prophetic word. And she basically said this, that it is the season of widening the mouth or zipping it shut. And I'm like, well, that seems a little, And then we get into this. I tell you, the enemy wants to take our voice away. I tell you, the enemy wants to take our voice away. He wants to take our voice away. And we've got to be able to be people. Yes, we have to be people that stand up in the midst of chaos and to begin to declare the truth. But we declare the truth that is like, see, we've been trained for this. Forgive me. We've been trained for this moment. You, don't look at this person over here or that person over there. It's you. You have been trained for this moment now. I tell you, there are so many miracles in the atmosphere right now. And it is a time when, so it's the year of the enabling grace, or is the year to behold or to see the powerful hand of God. I have been having to retrain where my eyes are looking. I've had to be able to retrain what my expectation is. I've been having to discipline myself. Anybody been there? Hey, maybe it's just me, Rod, just you in this. But I have had to discipline myself, and I mean the fact of even had to correct myself. That when I think something I should not be thinking, when a stronghold begins to be built up into my mind, or when I begin to speak judgments out of my mouth. Wow. Those are moments and those are times when I begin to realize that Matthew 7 and 3, verses 3 to 5 comes ringing into my ears. I don't know if you're like me, that just scriptures just come and they almost bowl me over at times. And you know what? I'm always just going to be honest anyways in this. Sometimes the Lord gives me a scripture and I say, who's that for? I'm like, Lord, who do you want to give this to? And he's like, okay, Lord, this one's for me. Okay, we got it, Lord. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And then he uses this strong word, you hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I want it to be that judgment is so far from my language. There's a difference between correction and judgment. There's a difference between if I have a relationship, if I have a connection with you, and I'm going to walk up to you and I am going to bring correction into your life with something. Now, we don't sit there and do this, just walk around here correcting everybody, because that's just chaos. But if I've got a close relationship that I say to somebody, I want to be in accountability with you. I want you to hold me accountable and I will hold you accountable. And we walk together in this. We walk together as the body of Christ. Then we begin to hold each other accountable. No one really likes to be held accountable. I know it's not necessarily always my favorite thing, but there's something about being together. You see, unity is not uniformity. Pastor Jay, what a wonderful sermon last Sunday. Just rocked me. Kept bursting up inside of me all week long. But that love is the key in unity. It's not even about agreeing, but it's about choosing each other in disagreement. You know, I've walked down some roads even with my own kids. I've got some amazing kids. And I've walked through some roads with some of them that have broken my heart at different times. and I've had to choose relationship over right. I've had to let those words that are, that's not mine, that's Danny Silk. Hey, all of you, you understand that and know that. But I had to choose relationship over right because I wanted to hold on to the relationship until it even became right. Do you understand me in this? That sense of beginning to say, listen, for me it was listen, we don't agree, but I'm holding on to you because I don't want to lose you in my life. This is essential in this season right now for all of us. That when we begin to live a life of value, see, you've been trained. We've been training us. God's been training us for the longest time. He's training us to begin to see the gold in one another, right? Come on now. Those of you that are prophetic in there, you know how much of a shift and how much of a transition it has been from, say, 15 years ago. When we're now beginning to look, and it's not about the fact that I have spent a lot of time with people and having to bring correction, prophetic correction as a prophet in the house. But I'm talking about the fact of all of us walking together. There has been something brand new over the last 15 years that has been burst where the prophetic is be able to, instead of sitting there calling out all the junk in people's lives, that we walk right past all the garbage. And that doesn't mean, hear me, it doesn't mean we're not accountable for those things. But we walk past all the garbage and we begin to see them like God sees them. And we begin to declare what God says over their lives. I'll give you an example of this and how important it is to begin to hold on, firmly hold on to this position. Can I just say it's hard for me lately when we're on that camera up there, everything being recorded continuously. But I was in a particular church at one time, and this person was causing incredible pain within our body. And in fact, they were inflicting incredible pain upon my wife. Now, how many of you know you can take on me and I can handle it? You know, that kind of a thing begins to happen. Don't touch the ones I love. Do you know what I'm talking about? Come on now. I can endure a lot of stuff on my own. But in that season, this person began to attack her and attack her and attack her and attack her. And we're standing up at the front and we're around the altars and they're there. This person's there and they're worshiping the Lord and they've come up for a prophetic word. I am standing there and the person that is assaulting my wife, and I'm talking about heavily, is standing there coming for a prophetic word. And in that moment, I didn't even know about Danny Silk at that time. No idea. Didn't know anything about Chris, you know, anything about the fact of finding the gold in anybody. No clue. All I knew is that love covers a multitude of sins. And as I stood there, the Lord reminded me gently of my own failures, not to condemn me, but to humble me again in that moment. And I began to realize how much God loves this person. And I gave that person what the Lord gave me, which was a word that went out of my spirit, I think must have bypassed my mind completely, because this word was so powerful, so enriching. It talked about so many beautiful, wonderful things that those that were with me on the board, I can remember glancing over at a couple of them and their faces are like, but that's what God thought. And in these moments right now, it's not about necessarily what I'm thinking, but it's about what my Heavenly Father thinks. We've been trained. We've been prepared for this moment now. We've been prepared. We have been trained in this time. And when we think then this is a year of enabling grace, a year to behold, a year of perspectives, a year of focus, a year of beginning to see the powerful hand of God work in our lives. And then this phrase comes, to create a new beginning. that establishes futures only God could give. I tell you, there have been people that have gone through very difficult times through this season, and they have seen businesses just totally disintegrated. They have seen devastation, and some of you might not have experienced these things. You may not have experienced even the sickness at all in anybody that you know. But there have been those in the midst of all of this that have been hurt very badly in the midst. But my God is with them. And I refuse to use my language to shame them if they're in fear. Hear me now. If you know, I tell you, you don't know how much I wrestled with this, even in the middle of the night, wrestling with the fact of if I say these things you're putting in my heart, Lord, I'm not trying to drive anybody away, but shaming cannot be a part of the body of Christ. It can't be. And my words, listen, I am accountable for my words. Every idle word that flows out of my mouth, every time I stand with somebody else and I criticize them, especially and not just the fact that one is worse than the other, because with God there is no worse than the other in this, but if I'm standing with someone else and I'm criticizing someone else and the words of my mouth, I stand, and hear me now, when it talks about in Revelation the accuser of the brethren, that when I do that, I stand into agreement with the enemy when I begin to speak over these things over my brothers and sisters. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. Now, I can declare truth without being shamed. You understand me? There is a difference between that. I can declare truth in the midst of all of these things. There's some truth that's got to get declared in the midst of this. But I refuse to be one that if somebody is struggling, Pastor Jay did it this morning. He asked, is anybody struggling with peace? I don't want this place to turn into the fact of that if someone's going, man, if I put up my hand, I'm going to have 17 people come over there and teach me after service today how to get over peace. Come on now. I need it to be that when I raise my hand, that someone says, you know what? God's with you. He's in you. You got this. He will help you. You are strong in the Lord. Before you know it, their mind begins to shift and their mind begins to change. And they begin to expect the goodness of God to begin to come in their lives. When I think of this, it's interesting. I don't even know what time it was. I haven't started page one yet. Well, I did sort of get, no, you did get the first quarter of page one. All right. I just want to just share this one thing and I will start to wrap this up here. Sorry, that's the thing you're not supposed to say, right? Because that means nothing. Okay. That's what I've learned. Yeah, it's the first one. But again, as I said, 5780, it's so powerful when you go back and look at it, because the 700 of that, it's so awesome. God's language is so amazing. They don't have a word, a symbol or a letter for 700. They have one for 400 and they have one for 300. So that's how you make 700. You put 400 and 300 together and you begin to have that. And it's a specific thing. I don't understand it. If I'm messing some of it up, forgive me, okay, fully. But here's what 400 stands for. 400 stands for this. It stands for salvation, ownership, and covenant. And I'm sure there's other things as well. 300, though, stands for this. It symbolizes, in other words, symbolizes to devour, to consume, and to destroy. I really think in this season right now, there's this choice upon our lips. What am I destroying? Because I want to destroy some things. I want to destroy strongholds that are in my mind, lies that are in my mind that somehow have creeped in and they've become part of my expectation. Anybody else with me? Come on now. I don't care how long you walk with the Lord. They're there. Ignore them and they will stay. We've got to get rid of them in this season. Those are the things that I want to tear down in the midst of this. But I don't want to tear down my brother and sister. I don't want to tear down my loved ones. I don't want to tear down the ones I'm walking with. I want it to be that when we look at the 400, it talks about salvation, which is such a strong word. I can't even have time to get into it. But ownership and covenant. I'm not even speaking in English now. Okay, apparently. The word shalom contains that letter that equals to 300. And it means this. It talks about the fact of peace comes when we destroy chaos. It's so cool. When I think of this, though, the greatest thing that pay, which is what that symbol means, it's the pronunciation of that symbol for 80, is it one of the greatest things is it's our mouth. Listen, I'll just write it as I wrote it. Yes, it's more than just our mouth. It's our life. Our life speaks. Our life says something. Our words, not just our words speak, but our lives say something. I'll close with this, and I really will close with this, I promise. I like sandwiches. I know you're like, wow, that's real spiritual. Josh and I went to New York City. And man, you have not had a sandwich until you go to New York City and you walk into this place. I don't even remember the name of it now. It's a famous place that's there. But I like pastrami. Maybe you don't like pastrami. I like rye bread. The sandwiches I heard were big. I have a big mouth. Don't agree with me. None of you shake your head, okay? I could not get my mouth around the sandwich. The corned beef was, some of you are going, wow, that sounds like something else. That's just not nice for you, okay? I get it. I understand it. Don't judge me in the midst of this, okay? I was drooling looking at this sandwich. I did have to break it up and tear some of it out so I could get it into my mouth. But the other day, about a couple weeks ago, Karen had bought some, week before that, had bought some pastrami. It was sitting in the fridge, and I ate a bit of it. It was good. And I had my favorite buns from Costco. Okay? And I can never remember what these buns are called. I call them focaccia buns. They're ciabatta buns, exactly. But for some reason, I always call them focaccia buns or something. I don't know what it is. It just seems to happen, okay? it's like, don't say that out loud, Rod, in the store. Can I have a... No, don't say that. But we had some of them, and you got to put them in the freezer and take some of them out. We put them in this little bag, and they were there, and I was looking forward to it all day long, and I come in and I grab a bun out of it and I cut the bun down. I open it up, you don't go all the way through. You just right to the edge. You open it up, grab the butter, not margarine, butter, and you got it. Just slather with butter. Now you're all going, just pray for my health. I know. Okay. So it's just butter all over it. Then you go get the Dijon mustard out of the fridge. Just, just get the Dijon all over. Then I go grab an orange bell pepper and I cut the side of it off and I make it into slivers and I've got it just right out like that, right? And I'm preparing because I know the pastrami's in the fridge. See, I have to prepare the bed for the pastrami. So I'm prepared, and I go into the pastrami and open up the fridge. There it is, right there. Right? It's just. Oh, it's so good. I bring out the package. Have you ever touched lunch meat that slides out of your hand, and you pick it up, and it's slippery, and I'm like, well. I do believe I'm covered in the blood, and then I go and I get a little close. Oh, it just does not smell good. It's slippery. I am still contemplating putting it on that bun. And I realize, no, I do not want to be sick, so I'm not doing that. So I grab it, I throw it in the garbage, and I'm so disappointed. And I go back to look for some other lunch meat. And all we have is the ham that if you let it go and drop it on the floor, it'd bounce and come back to you. And I mean like the little sliced ham, the stuff that I think is made mostly of gelatin, then there is a little, spatter. We're not talking about nice smoked ham. All of you are now getting hungry to go home, I know. But I come and I say, well, if that's all we got, I go put it out. I still got my bun, right? I got my favorite piccata, blah, 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 bun. Okay, so I take it, and as I turn the corner, I look over to where the bun is, and it has a blue haze. As I get closer, I look and I turn the bun over and look on the bottom, and it's blue. I'm not talking about the kind where you can just go, well, you know, you just cut a little bit out, throw it in the garbage and have it anyways. I'm talking a penicillin farm right there. And I still contemplated, but I said, no, 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 no. Okay. And I turned around and I threw it in the garbage. I was so disappointed. I had looked forward to that sandwich. And now, so I'm like, well, fine. I'm just going to go reach into the bag and grab another one. Blue, blue, blue. Every single one of them was blue. And I'm so disappointed. And the Lord says to me, make sure that when somebody opens up your life rod, they don't find the blue or the stinky pastrami. Let it be that they find a fresh encounter with me, just like Jesus at the well with the woman, that he went beyond all the stuff that everybody else knew and could see, went even beyond her, listen, even beyond her fighting with him of which place we were supposed to worship at, until the moment comes where she has this enlightened moment of encounter with God and everything changes and she goes and changes and transforms a city. I want it to be that my life is something that when somebody opens up my life, it's not stinky salami or stinky pastrami or a bagata lalaba bun. I can't say it every time I try. Ciabatta bun, thank you. But that my life is so filled with a fresh. So can you close your eyes with me just for a second? And if you're willing and if you want to, just say, Holy Spirit, fill me fresh. In this season right now, Holy Spirit, I need the fullness of your presence. I need the fullness of your presence, Lord. Because my language needs to be one that is just like you, Jesus, that draws people closer to me, that they can hear the good news. My language may be challenging, the words may be challenging at times, but they are filled with life and they are filled with love in everything that I say and do. So, Lord, here's my life. Use me this week. Use me this week to help somebody shift from fear to faith. Use my life this week to help somebody to begin to shift their mindsets of expecting things to get worse, but to begin to expect things to begin to get better. Use me, Lord, to begin, even this week, to point people towards you and to see their lives radically changed and our communities transformed because of you, Lord. Here I am, God. Here I am, Lord. Use me.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.